This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea, and I promise this will be the last time in 2010 that we play a clip from The Town.
You can't stay.
I don't want to stay. I want to go with you.
I'm leaving with somebody else.
Why isn't she here then?
I'm gonna tell you.
She's going away with you. Why isn't she here?
Actress Blake Lively taking a stab at the Boston accent there. She's not from Massachusetts, clearly. But Ben Affleck and company did use a lot of local talent for that film, mostly as extras and bit players. There is, in fact, an entire community of people around Boston who make at least part of their living filling out a crowd at Fenway in The Town or playing R-dropping hospital workers in Edge of Darkness. Many of these actors are supplied by a firm called Boston Casting, which digs up the local color for that latest Dennis Lehane adaptation or whatever. But of course, not every film made in Mass is part of that emerging genre some are calling Boston Noir. Consider this timeless classic.
Survive this, and you're on the front lines of keeping New Jersey safe.
Meet Paul Blart.
Pie. It just fills the cracks of the heart. Go away, pain.
Paul Blart Mall Cop was mostly filmed up at the Burlington Mall, and like The Town, it was filled out with extras from around Boston. But since the story was set in New Jersey, the casting call might as well have said, R-droppers need not apply.
And I came here a couple weeks ago for the audition, and Angela told me my accent was horrendous.
That's Donna Perry, a suburban mom who does some acting in her spare time. The Angela she's referring to is Angela Perry, the founder of Boston Casting.
She told me I would be typecast if I don't work on my accent.
Yeah, which is why Boston Casting has started offering a four-week, $200 class for actors like Donna who are looking to shed their Boston accents.
College, but none of my kids have New England accents anymore from going to college, so it's cheaper to come to you than to go to Simmons College and talk like my daughters. So that's why I'm here.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Your.
More.
Form.
That's the first class back in November. They started with some pretty simple rote exercises. This one is obvious. They're just trying to pronounce their R's. Here they are trying to rejigger their vowels, which proved a little more challenging.
Hot.
On.
They're trying to keep from saying hot or stop.
Stop.
Body. So it's like a more open sound, like
going
like log.
Right. I think of it as just like A-H. Ah.
Four.
North.
Here's an exercise where the instructor reads a word in a Boston accent, and then the students take turns correcting her.
Warm.
Store.
By the end of the two-hour class, they had graduated to complete sentences.
Your card is the king of hearts.
Your card is the seven of hearts.
Perfect.
Your card is the eight of hearts.
Perfect.
Maybe not so perfect, but not bad for the first day.
Car.
Care.
So that was back in November, and everyone you just heard has since graduated this four-week course. And we have two of those students live in the studio with us now, Frank Mazzarella and Mary Ferrara. Also with us is their instructor, Marjorie Feinstein Whitaker. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, Adam.
Welcome, Adam.
Okay.
Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Excuse me.
I feel very welcome. It's great.
Yes, I'm welcoming
you. We're all welcome. So let me just stipulate right off the bat that we know that what we're calling a Boston accent isn't really an accent. It's technically a dialect. So linguists in the audience, please don't send us angry emails. We're using the word accent today in the colloquial sense just to mean any regional color on the voice. Anyway, so Marjorie, the instructor, as we just heard, you're not really teaching these folks how to speak without an accent because there really is no such thing. You're really teaching them a whole new accent, right?
Right. We're just teaching them to be a little bit more neutral and to be able to turn their accent on or off as the need calls for. So.
Sure, but as we heard Wendy, who was the instructor who was teaching that day, she was saying that you need to pronounce words like Boston, in order to sound more Midwestern, I guess, as opposed to what, like Boston? Like, that sounds more New York to me.
Right. I mean, basically, the neutral accent is a Midwestern accent, and that's what most anchors are trying to...
news anchors such
news
as
anchors
myself.
Are trying to go for that, but that's supposedly the most neutral accent that we try to teach people.
What do I sound like?
You sound great.
Oh, thank you. So listeners, if you have an accent that you've been trying to lose, whether it's for acting or for any other reason, we have an expert here at your disposal. Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Maybe you got a horror story or a success story or a trick of your own you'd like to share, or just a funny anecdote about your accent out there in the world. We'd love to hear it. Give us a call, 1-800-423-TALK. So let me turn to our actors, Mary and Frank. Tell us a bit about yourselves. Where are you from? Why'd you decide to take the class, Frank?
Well, I grew up in Boston, and I have a pretty heavy Boston accent. I was interested in the class mainly because there's no other place I could find an accent reduction unless you spoke English as a second language. Mm-hmm. So this was really unique. And Wendy and Marjorie also have a full page on what the local dialect is, something I didn't even think about before.
Like defining what exactly means, what comprises the Boston dialect?
Yeah. There's a full page. So it isn't just R and Ka and Harvard. It's some other things, too.
Like what other things, Marjorie?
Well, they're just terminology that's just unique to this area, too. So just the lexicon of Boston, talking about bubbler versus water cooler and things like that. And also just, you heard a little bit in the clip that Wendy did, just the ah sound, so saying hot instead of hot. They're just leaving off NG ending, so thinking and doing and talking is really part of the Boston accent, so learning how to put the NGs back on. So there are lots of features, and not everyone does everything, and that's what's the hardest part about the Boston accent. It's really unique even within the people who have it.
Sure, there's so lots of variation.
Lots of variations.
And, you know, just because the geography is so cramped in New England, mm-hmm. you can just drive 20 minutes and people talk a little bit differently. I remember, mm-hmm. I think there's a guy named Steve who was in the class with you. Yeah. Who told me that he's got a Haverhill accent, and that's really bad. And I'm like, there's a Haverhill accent? but Mary, you have a Quincy accent? You're from Quincy,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of wanted always to refine the way I spoke. First of all, I never liked the way I spoke, but I also act and have an interest in doing Shakespeare, which requires you to be a little more clear in the way you speak. I am in an upcoming production of Romeo and Juliet.
Ooh, who are you?
Romeo's mother.
Lady Montague.
Yes. And yeah, they're going to kill me a little later in this production.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you die of a broken heart, as I recall.
Exactly.
I don't know how you do that on stage, but...
it's by word, not by...
Yeah, a broken heart.
Yeah, they don't actually see it. But, so I just wanted to refine the way I spoke a little bit more, and...
But I guess, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I wonder if you're offended by the idea that you have to lose your accent in order to get work as Lady Montague.
No, first of all, there's nothing wrong with having an accent. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't try to hide it, you know, off camera, off mic. There's nothing wrong with having a local accent. It's just there are times when you may want to drop it. When if you're doing a voiceover or maybe a particular part where you need to be a little clearer.
But I saw. Don't ask me why I saw it. I think it was an airplane. I saw Valkyrie, mm-hmm. and Tom Cruise plays like Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg, and not only did he not speak German, he didn't even try to affect like a German accent. He just sounded like Jerry Maguire, like, "Hey kids, I'm a Nazi colonel. Show me the money," you know. So if he can do that, why can't you play Lady Montague with a Boston accent?
Exactly.
Why isn't that just as feasible as Lady Montague with a British accent, which I guess would be the traditional
thing?
Back
in the day, didn't everyone have a British accent?
Yeah.
If they, you know, Sound of Music, they're Austrian, but they went British because, you know.
It's like it's British as anything European.
Exactly. I think nowadays, I don't know. I mean, also, I took a voiceover class and she said, "Oh, you have a bit of a Boston accent. Do you know how to turn it off?" And I was like, I don't know. So that also fed my brain about learning more how to refine the way I spoke.
Ruth is calling from Acton. Ruth, do you have a Boston accent?
No, I'm from Iowa.
No.
That would be Minnesota right there, actually.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But no, when we first moved here in the 1990s, I was telling the story is that I went across the street to the Christmas tree lot to try to find a tree. And the man selling the trees chatted with me for a few minutes and then kind of stopped for a minute and said, "Now, wait, I just got to ask you, where's that accent from?" And I looked at him like, "I don't have an accent. where's it? I pronounce my R's, sir."
Right. But to you, he had an accent.
Right. He thought I had an accent because I was from the Midwest.
Right. Absolutely. Makes sense. Thanks for that, Ruth. Joyce Linehan gives us this question on Facebook. She says, lose it? I'd like to get mine back. Any tips for that? Marjorie Feinstein Whitaker, instructor of this Boston accent reduction class. You got an answer for that?
Well, it's a hard one to answer. I would go backwards from everything I'm doing in the class, basically dropping off the R's and dropping the NG's and working on some of those vowels. Frank and I were talking before about just learning other accents. It's not really what I do, but there are dialect coaches that do that, and they teach people how to approximate different kinds of accents, both regional and foreign.
Well, we're talking about a new class offered by Boston Casting, which helps actors lose their Boston accents for roles. Frank Mazzarella and Mary Ferrara just graduated the class. Marjorie Feinstein Whitaker is their instructor. And Frank and Mary have promised to do a little scene for us in their new accentless voices. I'm going to hold that out there yet. We're not going to do it just yet, but just it's coming, folks. Let's go to Leah from Quincy. Hey, Leah, do you have a Boston accent?
I do. I have worked really hard to get rid of it, though.
I don't hear it on you at all.
You sound great.
No, I grew up in the South Shore in Randolph. I live in Quincy. My entire family grew up in Quincy. And when I'm around my family, when I'm around my friends, it comes out. But very quickly in my career, I had employees, all up and down the East Coast, and for me, the amount of time I spent repeating myself because no one could understand a word I was saying, it became very clear to me that I had to articulate and lose my accent very quickly.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for that, Leah. Rebecca in Lowell has a different accent. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. What do you got?
Well, I'm actually from South Carolina, and I just moved up here. And it's kind of hard because some people say I have an accent and some people don't, but I'm trying to hide it because I teach. And right now I've been talking to my kids because we're reading a book that's set in the South. And I bring out my accent when I'm reading the book with them, and they ask
like you're in character.
Yeah, and they ask me, why do I hide it? Because I sound really cute when I talk that way. But I've always had this, you know, the stigma, oh, a Southern accent, you sound like an idiot, so I try not to talk that way.
Well, Marjorie Feinstein Whitaker, there's affinity between the Southern accent and the New England accent, right? Because they're both non-rhotic. They both drop their R's.
Right. I mean, I think that, unfortunately, people do make assumptions when they hear certain accents, and they're not necessarily accurate, but people have perceptions. And so, again, that's why I think Boston Casting was offering this course, because sometimes people come up against obstacles that they don't anticipate, but then they at least have some recourse when they do. So I think your accent seems very mild to me. I think it would be very charming to hear you read a Southern part with your accent. But again, it depends on how people are reacting to it in, you know, your non-teaching moments.
Sure, yeah. Okay, well, dramatists, I think it's time for some drama.
Okay.
What do you got?
I was going to say, you're going to give us a flag when it's
over? That's right, yeah. So, Mary, I think that you've got just a monologue script right there that's like meant to be a bit of a minefield for you.
Sure. Just from the book that Marjorie put together. It's just
for the class, yeah.
Rife with all the things that we have problems with. So I can just read a bit of portion of that, and then maybe
take it away. Then we'll do a little scene.
Okay, sure. Courtney Porter is a 44-year-old mortgage broker. Originally born in North Carolina, she moved to Laurel, Maryland when she was 14 years old. She lives with her adorable Yorkshire Terriers, Boris and Dolores. In recent years, Courtney has become a formidable tennis player. More than anything, Courtney has yearned to play competitive professional sports. Courtney decided to hire a coach and trainer so she could play better than before.
How much concentration is that taking you right now? Like
a little bit.
I mean, it's really like your face is intense.
A little bit, yes. I'm just trying to place a little more emphasis in the problem areas.
Areas.
As opposed to areas.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Marjorie, by the way, where does that come from?
I don't know. I'm from New Jersey. I can't tell you why. I don't know. But it's strange. We were just saying, you know, it's, you know, Santer and bananas and
idea,
pizza and yeah. Idea, all these things. I have no idea why they put the R's in where they don't belong and take them out where they should be.
All right. If anybody out there has any ideas to the origin of that particular tick, I think we'd love to hear it. 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Carl from Marblehead. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how's it going?
What do you got for us today?
I was just reminiscing that a few years ago on Christmas, I had some of my relatives come down from like Nova Scotia, and they decided to make fun of my Boston accent by saying, "Oh, so you perk your current Harvard yard, eh?"
I bet they thought they were terribly clever.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what a yard was, but I told them flat out, "No, it's very hard to find parking in Boston. I'd rather park my car in Gloucester."
Nice. Well done, Carl. Okay, so back to the issue at hand, which is acting without a Boston accent. So, Mary, you were just, you know, reading a script. You were able to concentrate. I imagine it gets much more difficult when you're trying to perform, when you're trying to act. So let's go ahead and do that. I think you guys are going to try a little improv, Frank and Mary.
Yeah, let me kick this off, Mary. I'll kick this off.
Okay, thank
Since
you.
Since you were brave enough to do the reading.
Go for it, Frank.
Okay.
He's getting into character.
Gee, Harvard Yard looks a lot different at night. Did we just pass that building, Mary?
Yes, we did. And we're a long way from New Bedford. So let's kind of keep moving, okay?
Yeah, what time are we going to meet Jennifer?
In less than a half hour. We're supposed to meet her at the John Harvard statue.
And boy, it'd be nice if we could give her a call.
Yes,
sir. Your cousin Ernie did a nice job of reprogramming our cell phones. Now we can't. I open my phone and it says data not loading properly. Thanks, Ern. So I don't mean to pick on your cousin. Do you know your way around? I mean, I can't find a statue anywhere.
Well, we can keep walking and look for a cop to help us, you know, to direct us in the right direction.
Okay, I'm gonna cut you guys off because this is clearly really hard for you. Marjorie, are you buying this?
I know how hard they're working. It's very difficult to do. It is.
Yeah, the instructors usually have a clicker when we make a mistake. So
oh, really?
I'd be clicking madly by now. I didn't bring him today.
It's like training a cat or something.
Yes,
you spray them in the face with a water bottle.
Well, I actually got the clicker at the dog training store, and I clicked them when...
That's what we are.
But I don't think of you that way at all. But I really did have to make you aware when the Boston accent was sneaking back in. It takes a lot of concentration initially, it does.
Meg from Harwich tried to lose her accent. Hey, Meg.
Hi.
So what happened?
Well, I used to hate my voice because it's kind of high, and as I'm getting older, it's a little bit lower, but it's still like Minnie Mouse. But I thought I'd get rid of my Boston accent, took a couple of classes, and I decided I like my Boston accent, and most people like it. When you pick up a phone and someone with a British accent answers, you like it.
Oh, I presume they're smarter than me.
People like it, but the one thing I don't particularly care for is when people were from another place, they make fun of it. Most people don't do that, except like a comedian. We say butter, but I'll tell you a quick funny story.
Sure.
When I was about 13, my brother brought a friend home from the Army who was from the South, and I was probably about 13, and I said to him at the dinner table, "Do you need a fork?" Well, the man's face turned as red as can be.
I just bet it did.
I couldn't understand it. And we all looked, what's the matter with him? He looks like, is he choking on something? And that was it.
All right, Meg, I'm going to cut you off before you get us in trouble with the FCC with that. It's funny how she mentions that, you know, she has a high voice because there's a spectral component to the Boston accent, right? It's not just the shape of the sounds. It's also just kind of a brightness that I hear in your voice, especially, Frank.
Yeah, I was almost going to ask, is that kind of nasally?
It's nasal. With certain sounds, like the ah sound, it's more nasal. Yeah, I mean, there are all these different features.
All right, one last question we want to try to squeeze in here. It's from Facebook, Elizabeth Fry Ellis. How do you pronounce Florida or orange? I'm from Washington, D.C., and my kids say I pronounce them funny, but I say they have a Massachusetts accent. I say Florida, and they say Florida.
You're asking me. I would say Florida and orange.
How do the natives weigh in on this?
Florida, orange.
Florida, orange.
I guess I say Florida. But I'm in the news business, so what do I know? Well, I think we're done, folks. Thanks so much. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
My brave actors, Frank Mazzarella and Mary Ferrara. Marjorie Feinstein Whitaker of Boston Casting. When does the next accent reduction class start?
It's starting in a few weeks, so sign up now.
Okay, well, thanks to you, too.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Now, once again, where does it rain?
On the plane, on the plane.
And where's that soggy plane?
In Spain, in Spain.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. Our show is produced by myself, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mozzie. Our interns are Griff McNerney and Jason Breslow. Tim Skog is our technical director. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. And Iris Adler is our executive producer. You got something to say, rants, raves, compliments, criticisms, anything, always post a comment on our website, wbur.org/Boston. Find us on Twitter or Facebook. We're at Radio Boston. Try to make it to that snowball fight on the Common tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.